Welcome, members, to the Ed Finance Committee. We do not quite have a quorum yet, but we are going to get started, and we'll hold off. And I know Representative Seltzer, you can't hold, and Representative Mueller, you can't hold it all down by yourself.
The most important people are here.
That's right, and you have the vote, so we won't bring any bills up.
Right now.
Do we want to go right to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And so, as we're waiting for members to come in, I believe Representative Bennett, you have a shadow today, and I know I have a shadow, and they're both over here. I'm going to invite, since we have open seats, I'm going to invite you both up to the table real quickly. And these are a couple young students who are shadowing members today. Grab a seat, grab a microphone, and introduce yourself, and then I'll have to put you back in the audience. And you have a shadow too?
Yes.
Are you a shadow? Yeah, let's bring, well, come on up to the table. We'll do this real quick and we'll be done. So let's start over here. Courtney, go ahead.
Hey. Hi, my name is Courtney Dinsmore.
And where are you from? And
I'm from Big Lake, Minnesota. I'm a junior in high school.
And welcome to the committee.
Hi, my name is Cody Bendixson. I'm a junior at Casson Manorville High School.
Welcome to the committee.
Hi, I'm Rick Osborne. I'm from Spring Lake Park High School, and I'm a senior.
And welcome to the committee. And one more.
Hi, I'm Jill Kappel. I'm from Othniffer High School, and I'm a senior.
And very good. And welcome to all of you to the committee, and we'll try not to make this really boring. It's going to be much better than what you'd be doing in class today. So I'll have you go back to your seats. And with that, members, I believe we have a quorum. And let's see. Representative Slocum, would you like to move the minutes? I know you've read them. I see you over there diligently going through them.
I spent hours on them, Mr. Chair, and I move we approve the minutes.
And the minutes are moved by Representative Slocum. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the minutes are carried. Representative Keel, you have a bill with us today. House File 584. Yes.
Actually, Mr. Chair, I have a couple.
You do?
Yeah.
This is the Keel Day.
But we'll start with this one first.
And so, Representative Keel, I will move your bill with the intent to lay it over, and I'll let you go ahead with the introduction, and then you can bring your testifiers up.
Awesome. Well, I brought them with me to talk about this bill. This is a mobile lab a pilot project that we're talking about doing, and provides for career and technical type classes in different areas. And you know, I would imagine you have a full day, and I think we'll let Mr. Castle explain this. He is a, you know, I'm thinking about your vice president. Excuse me. It's not like I haven't known him for a while, but he is works at Northland Community College in Thief River Falls, one of the two Minscu schools that I have in the district. Actually, Thief River Falls is in Representative Fabian's district. But I am going to let Mr. Castle explain this bill and tell you what we're planning to do.
And welcome to the committee, Mr. Castle. If you could just state your name for the record and give us your testimony.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kerry Castle. I'm the Vice President for Academic and Student Affairs at Northland Community and Technical College. And I'm happy today to be representing both Northland and the Pine Prairie School Cooperative for this bill. We are seeking $350,000 over a two-year period to purchase two mobile welding labs and two mobile manufacturing / engineering labs that will serve grades 7 through 12 through a 29 school district area. Our purpose for these labs will be to equip them, train or educate instructors wherever they need it at the college, and then send those labs with the trained instructors at each, I'm sorry, the high school instructors. I'm not saying the college instructors are going out with these, but they'll be sent to each one of the high school areas and left there for approximately 6 weeks, where the school itself can pull the equipment out, set it up, and work through it. The welding labs are consist of some simulator welding, five welding simulators, and one actual stick welder, which is a very cost-efficient method to bring and provide experience for students. The manufacturing labs, on the other hand, consist of the state-of-the-art things that we expect students to be looking forward to in automated manufacturing, such as CNC machines, 3D printers, routers, laser engravers, and VEX robotic programming as well. We believe this will be a huge help for our area because of the rural area that these high schools are in. It's not possible for all these programs to exist at all these schools, and this allows each of those programs to have exposure at the high school level and then give the students prospective students a pathway for them to go down after they've had some exposure first. At this point, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Members, any questions for Mr. Kessel? Seeing none, this could be a quick one. Do you have any testifiers for the bill in the audience? Any testifiers against? Representative Keel, looks like you and Representative Fabian have a quick-moving bill. Do you have any closing comments before I renew my motion?
I do. I just want to point out to members that this is a great way for students to not only expand their education in high school, but in northern Minnesota, northwestern Minnesota, we are in desperate need of these types of jobs. And it connects not only the high education with the high school students, but it also connects them to the MNSCU system to expand their education and help them to see possibilities. And we want to encourage them to be educated in a way that it's a long-term sustainability in their lifeline. And these are some fairly good-paying jobs that we're talking about directing them in. So and I would ask you to support it.
And Representative Keel, I believe we have one question. Representative Markford.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Representative Keel, I see there's 29 school districts within the co-op, it looks like. And I'm just wondering, have the schools already kind of set up a schedule? I mean, 29 schools are quite a few. How many schools have indicated out of those 29 that they want to participate? And I see there's two mobile lab units. I mean, is that going to be, if all 29 schools, I presume, I don't know how long a week units these would be, but, that's going to be really tight. And I'm just wondering how many have indicated interest in it right now and how that rotation will work. I don't know.
Representative Keel or Mr. Castle?
I was going to say we're missing Murray Turner, but I think Mr. Castle knows. Carrie knows.
I can give you a very close guess. The larger schools such as Thief River Falls, East Grand Forks, those schools, I have some existing programs already. These, for instance, the welding program, trailers, and there are two welding trailers and two automated manufacturing trailers. So there's a little bit more of a spread than you might think. Those, Mr. Turner has talked with all of the high schools in that area and established a schedule and developed some funding streams to sustain these as we move forward.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And yes, Representative.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to point out too, also that, and you would know this, Representative Marquardt, that some of our schools already have like welding labs existing. So this would help for the schools that don't in the area. But there are some. I know Erskine is just building a new school. It's called Winamac because it's Winger, Erskine, and McIntosh. But they are just building a new wing on their school, and part of it is a welding lab that they're going to do. So they wouldn't be using this type of a program. But and I know Kirkston has one. So anyway, thank you.
Yep. And thank you, Representative Keel, for the bill, and thank you, Mr. Castle. And with that, the chair will lay this bill over. And Representative Keel, you are on again with House File. So the chair lays over House File 584. And with that, let's bring up 774.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a second.
And while you're doing that, the chair will make a motion to lay the chair's intent is to lay over this bill, House File 774. And Representative Keel, the bill is before us, and it is your bill. So,
Thank you. This is a really interesting program that was presented to me, and I think just a wonderful way for our students that want to further their education but participate in high school and be able to enhance their academics. But rather than my talking and explaining it to you, and in your packets you also received a CD that they're going to talk about, but that I encourage you to watch. It's very interesting to see how the program works. But rather than me spend any more time on it, I'm going to introduce you to some members who actually run this program.
My name's Judy Anderson. I'm Director of Transition Enrollment Services at Alexandria Technical and Community College, which is one of the three schools that are actually colleges that participate in this as well. The program has been around for about 11 years. The whole original idea, again, kind of initiated with Murray Turner in trying to bring some college level options to some of the small rural districts within his consortium. So that was kind of what started it here 11 years ago. We've now grown to almost 40 participating school districts as well, and I think this semester we had over 600, I think 620 some enrollments. So the program has definitely grown over the last 11 years, and I think what has carried it so far is our success rates. Students right now, just on average, really across the board, the completion rates actually are on page 3, so you don't even need to write these down of your program guide, but we've had 98% of the course completion. These would be students that actually received a grade in the course, didn't withdraw, didn't fail it, and 93% of those students that have taken courses have received a grade of either A, B, or C. So it's a very well run program. It's really a partnership between the college and the actual school district, and then Distance Minnesota is our online support. I would like to introduce Johanna Bogard. She actually was able to join us today. There's many, many things going on in high school right now, so it was a little tricky to find a high school student that was available, but she was able to join us today. So I'll maybe have Johanna tell a little bit about herself and kind of her experience, and that may be what will serve you the best as well.
And thank you, Ms. Anderson. And I should note, members, we had another testifier. It was a robot. But the robot, I believe, is outside, and we did not bring it in because it interferes with. It was on the table, so. So it was interfering with the recording. And is that outside that members can see? He's holding it. Okay. So if you haven't had a chance to see it, we do have that, and that would be for you to take a look at. Next testifier.
As she introduced me before, I'm sorry.
Could you state your name again for the record? I didn't hear that.
I am Johanna Bogard. I am one of the students enrolled in the online college and the high school program. I come from Los Acres, Minnesota. I live on a small dairy farm, and I'm the oldest of four children, and I will be the first generation or first person in my family to actually complete college. I started taking these online classes because I wanted a little bit more of a challenge, but I didn't want to go completely like PSEO because I didn't want to leave and be disconnected from like everything that I could be involved in, because I am in volleyball and basketball. I'm also in choir and band, so I'm in many activities, and I didn't want to feel that disconnection because I had to go PSEO. So I took these classes, and I found them to be very satisfying because I wanted the challenge, and the program is really easy to use. Like, my content list is there, and they give you all your assignments, and they give you your due dates, so it's basically up to you, and I really like that about the program. And I wouldn't find that in, like, a school regulated class.
And thank you for your testimony. And is it Ms. Bogard?
Yes.
And I should let you know, our committee administrator, Mr. Withers, leaned over and let me know that his high school is Osakis. What he really meant to say is great people and great things come from Osakis. So congratulations. Thank you. And Ms. Hansen, Carrie Hansen?
Yes, I'm Carrie Hansen. I'm from Alexandria Technical and Community College. I'm a career and tech ed specialist, but I'm also one of the distance coordinators that works on the steering committee for online college and high school. And a lot of what I do is working with the actual school districts that are involved in this program.
And thank you. Okay, I've got a couple of questions. I've got Representative Murphy, Representative Anderson, and Representative Newton's and Enzel's. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What was the robot going to say?
That's a good question.
Does the robot
Where is the robot?
Listen to the class and then tell the person who runs the robot
and
what the work is, or I don't quite understand the robot function.
I believe what I just heard is the robot might be part of the next bill. I don't believe it's part of your bill. So we're going to bring the robot to life in the next bill.
Thank goodness. I will wait. But as I read the overview, could somebody that was on the committee last year please tell me why it was a one-time appropriation and who received the $160,000.
And if I
or Mr. Strom,
I was just going to recommend. May I go to Mr. Strom
for that answer?
Mr. Strom,
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, this program originated on the Senate side last year, and we saw it in conference committee for the first time. The recipient of the grant is written in the same way as last year. Representative Marquardt may remember more of the details about why things were decided the way they were last year. But at the time, it was decided that it would be a one-time grant, and that was written into the language for the program.
Okay, but my main interest, Mr. Chair and Mr. Strom, is who is the what is the recipient of the money, and does the local school district get some of that money, or is it just for the for the people that are producing the online service to the student?
And Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, my understanding is the money goes to the Fiscal Agency for Distance Minnesota, and I'm not sure which of the universities is actually the fiscal agent for that, but the grant is paid by the Commissioner of Education to that organization, which then provides the online services to the students that are in the consortium of districts that have access to that.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Anderson, or Representative Keel, could you give me additional background on the recipient, who receives the money, and what that money is used for?
Representative Keel.
As the chair of the steering committee for online college and the high school, the Pine to Prairie Consortia actually is the administrator of that funding. It's been used for a variety of things, primarily the promotion of the program. Part of the video that I handed out to you was made in part with some of that funding. We have attended all of the pathways to post-secondary presentations that have been put on by the Department of Ed in, you know, the goal of having more school districts become aware of what this program is about and what it might mean to them. We also focused on promoting the career and technical education courses, providing for textbook purchase. Normally in this program, the school districts are responsible to purchase the textbooks. That is one thing that does make it a little different than standard post-secondary. But for career and tech ed courses, we were able to purchase or actually rent the textbooks for the high school students that would have normally come from the school district. So it's gone for a variety of different things, but the Pine to Prairie Consortium actually, like I say, is the administrator of the grant. Distance Minnesota, of course, is our online support center. We've done some, you know, additions to the technology. We were able to actually provide technology resources to the school districts that we otherwise didn't have funding for. Does that answer your question?
Representative
Mr. Chair, Ms. Anderson, partly it answers my question, but does the student that contracts with Distance Minnesota pay a tuition?
No. No, the school districts actually are the contracting agency. The agreement is between the school district and the colleges. And what makes this to be such a cost-effective program is that instead of having to, I'll use as an example concurrent enrollment. I know that you're all familiar with how that works, where the school district actually has a high school faculty member that teaches the course, and then they contract with the college to provide the mentor and the course material. In this situation, the courses are actually taught by college faculty, so the high school doesn't have to worry about having a whole section of students or having enough students to run. They may have only one or two students that are interested in taking a particular course. And as we know, in some of the small school districts, that really limits what courses can be offered. So it's a little bit different setting. But none of this money actually went to the colleges. It really went to, again, really expand, not only market the program, but just expand the services to the school districts. And I said, supply the textbooks. We've been able to provide, through Distance Minnesota, kind of preparation, ACT preparation. They can do self-testing to see, where they're at, in their studies, what they may need to work on, if they're planning to go on, and plan to take the ACT. It allows them, some real opportunities to be better prepared for college. So again, there's really been a variety of things, but the recipient would have been the school districts that participate, and of course, then the students benefit through the school district participation.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Strom, do other school districts get to market certain programs that they have or compete, or can somebody put advertisements out and market a wonderful course that they have, or like their musical program or something like that, a regular public school?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, there are certain limitations in place on marketing as the full committee has been dealing with some of these in the PSEO area regarding the types of information that can be provided. But I think in terms of the K-12 finance world, the arrangement between an organization such as a community college and the school can be a contract arrangement. Often it uses the existing structures we've got, such as the concurrent enrollment or the PSEO program, as the structure to perform that. But there's nothing that would prohibit a different relationship. So, for example, if a school district wanted to contract for services with a technical college or community college or state university, they certainly could do that. Finally, I'd just add that many of the original area vocational technical institutes were connected to the school districts a number of years ago. And so there's often a bond between those former organizations and the schools that they were originally a part of.
Thank you.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Anderson, if you could break down how the $160,000 was used, I would appreciate receiving that information.
We're, of course, in the process of that at this point in time, so it's not totally used right. at this point. Is that something that you would want me to try and break down, by a particular day, or because I could certainly provide
When you get to it next week or so, if you could just supply it to us. And I would particularly like to know how the marketing part was broken down.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I can actually get to Representative Keel where we're at today, our budget maybe of what we budgeted for various things and where we're at today, what we've spent up to this point for various things. Would that work?
That would be fine.
Perfect.
Okay. Representative Anderson, you're next, and then Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Ms. Bogard. Are you going to get back in time for basketball practice today?
That depends on your question, Representative Anderson.
Just a yes or no.
I might be a little bit late, but I should be back.
Okay, good luck. Just a question about, you talked about staying in school and not going PSEO because of your activities, and I think that's commendable. The classes you've taken online, do you get dual credit, or is this in addition to your regular high school class load?
And no, Ms. Bugard.
I do get dual credit for it. I can, present it to my college, and they will take my credit.
Representative Anderson, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And Representative Anderson, did you have a vested interest in her not playing? They weren't playing Sauk Center, were they?
No comment, Mr. Chair.
Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think this question is for Ms. Anderson. Are the instructors, Minskew instructors, who are teaching these classes?
Ms. Yes. Anderson.
Yes. I'm sorry.
And okay. It's, excuse me, Mr. Chair, and it's part of the distant learning normal class that you would have through a Minskew facility?
Yes. The three colleges that are currently involved are Alexandria Technical and Community College, Northland Technical or Community and Technical College, and then Northwest Technical College. So they are all college faculty, which is a plus again because the school district then doesn't have to worry about their faculty credentialing and whether they meet the requirements and that sort of thing. So it works well. And then the contracted rate actually is much more beneficial to the school district. So it's a real win for everybody than if they actually lose a student post-secondary.
Mr. Representative.
And, Mr. Chair and Ms. Anderson, how does the Minskew facility come out in terms of funding? Are they getting less than they would for a normal PSEO student?
Oh, definitely. I want to say, and I don't know the exact rates, but I think the PSEO reimbursement rate is 190 something per credit, somewhere in that ballpark. And on average, we are able to deliver these online courses to the school districts. I know Carrie does the billing for $120, $121, $130. So it ends up being a substantial savings. How the colleges basically are, we calculate what our faculty costs are, what our instructional costs are, and then that's what we base our per credit rate. And then that figure is divided amongst every student that's registered. So the school districts then just pay a per seat cost. So if they have one student or if they have 20 students, they pay the same per seat cost. So it's really, you benefit from the economies of scale. Again, when we've got 620, excuse me, some students that are registered, that can really bring the cost down for everybody.
Okay, Mr. Chair, Ms. Anderson, one more question. I know that for some Minskew classes, the credits aren't transferable to the University of Minnesota. Do you know if credits for this particular program are fully transferable to other Minskew institutions and the University of Minnesota?
And Ms. Anderson.
Well, we do have a variety of both Minnesota transfer curriculum as well as career and tech ed courses. The Minnesota transfer curriculum typically are accepted at the U of M. I'm not aware that there have been issues in that. Of course, within the technical arena, that can always be a little bit different story depending upon whether the U has a program that would have similar classes. For instance, starting now with the 15-16 academic year, we now have laid it out that a student that starts this as a sophomore can actually complete their first year of a law enforcement program by the time they graduate from high school. So, again, whether the U of M would offer, you know, transferability for those career and tech ed courses, that really falls kind of on a case-by-case basis. I know the U many times, it depends on the program that you're choosing, whether or not the program has electives. But, of course, the career and tech ed courses are always challenging depending upon where you're planning to go. But Minnesota transfer curriculum, I don't think, has been an issue really anywhere, even out of state or public or private, or I think they've been fairly standard.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Ansells, and then we'll look for anybody in the audience.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm actually going to pass.
Wow.
My questions have been answered.
What's the proper motion for that? I'm not sure how to handle it. Thank you, Representative.
It's a foreign concept for me.
Thank you, Representative Ansells. Any testimony for in the audience? How about any testimony against? Representative Keel, closing comments to your bill. Thank you for bringing it in front of us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I just really think that these programs are so opportune for our students in rural Minnesota especially, but really connect, encourage students that maybe would never have thought about going to college to seek a higher ed and career. And I don't believe you told them what your plans were, did you? Would you share that real quick?
This fall, I will be attending the U of M Crookston to study pre-veterinary medicine.
Congratulations.
So, and in my agricultural world, having more veterinarians are especially large animal, are very important because they're hard to find and important to agriculture. So I'm really excited that not only did I meet her today, but I also found out she's going to come live not far from me. So, because University of Minnesota Crookston is just down the road. Anyway, so I would thank you and encourage you to include this in your bill.
And thank you, Representative Keel. And Ms. Bugard, thank you very much. I think I can speak for many of the members. We always enjoy students that come and testify in front of us. It's one of the passions we have. And good luck with the basketball game. And to the other testifiers, thank you for coming with that. The chair will lay over House File 774. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Backer. And Representative Backer, you have the mysterious robot.
I do. Why don't let one of my testifiers?
And Representative Backer, were you going to have a demonstration or did you just want to pass the robot around? What was your intention?
We will have a demonstration, yes. I'll open it up.
Okay. And let me move
we
your
will
bill.
Have a demonstration, if that's okay with you.
Yeah. Do you want to do that? Well, let me do this. Representative Backer, you have House File 555. Are we... And the intention is to lay this over for possible inclusion. And so I will make that motion that House 555 is in front of us and with the motion to lay it over for possible inclusion. If you'd like to do the demonstration, how about we do it right in the middle and can we get that out of the way right away?
Yeah, we can do that. Go ahead.
And do you want to state the name for the record of who's going to do the demonstration and then we'll let the robot take it from there.
Cody Whiting.
Thank you. Okay. And I'm sorry, one quick thing. Representative Backer, would you present the bill real quick? And then I believe it sounds like you might have to run out real quick. Let's do that, and then we'll take it from there with the robot.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Yeah, House File 555, we have quite a few testifiers here today. But what it really does is it allows schools offer a vocational curriculum. And what this bill does is appropriates money so they can buy the equipment so they can offer these programs. And we do have a demonstration. Too many times in our schools, we really put all the students on a college track. And as we know, not everybody, every student that graduates from high school, that's the best track for them. For example, when I graduated in 1985, we had a very strong vocational program in our community, Browns Valley, that works with Sisseton and Wheaton back then, and we've got away from that. And what this bill does is it's a pilot program. It's a program that's pilot after what they've been doing successfully in North Dakota. So I will let my testifiers explain more of the program, and we'll start with a demonstration there, if that's okay, Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative Backer. And is it Mr. Whiting?
Whiting.
If you could introduce yourself one more time in front and just grab a mic. And then why don't you give us a quick demonstration?
Cody Whiting.
There you go.
Having technical difficulties.
Annette. Would you like to do it on the floor, Mr. Whiting? Just, it may interfere, or is it?
It doesn't really work on softwood, or I mean soft.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
Pretty much its purpose is to self-balance through a program through Legos. The Legos has a kit. It's about $350 that we have about 10 of them in our school, Cromwell Wright. This is what 7th graders in our school are doing. I personally built this one and programmed it myself. It took about 3 to 5 days in school to do it, so 3 to 5 hours. The 7th graders, it took them about 2 weeks, so about 14 hours to do this during school. It's very simple. I love the Legos themselves, everything that they're doing and producing.
Fascinating. And members, if you'd like to ask Mr. Whiting, let's take questions for him right away since we have the robot self-balancing itself. Any member questions?
I'll move the bill.
I also had a drone that was being passed around. I built that 100% myself, besides the wires and the ECMs and the receiver.
Does Representative Khan know you have the drone in the building? I'm sorry, that's inside baseball. You don't have to answer that.
Also, what I did was, before I came, I unscrewed the back and showed how tight the tolerances are that I did myself with the dial caliper. This is a one of a kind. You can't buy this anywhere. I made this for about $80 and I could sell this for about $300.
Wow.
And it flies?
Yes, ma'am, it flies. I didn't bring the remote because I didn't really want to get it tangled in anyone's hair.
Not a word.
Jody has that problem.
Would anyone like to see it, touch it, look at it?
I think if you'd like, if you're comfortable, we'll have the page bring it around.
He already did.
I think we're good on that. Any other questions? Did you want to testify, Representative Backer? Did you want to invite Mr. Whiting to talk more about what he's done?
Yeah, you're welcome to. Yeah, please share with what these classes offer and how this bill would, from your perspective, would help to expand these type of programs.
So what I think I'll do is I'll ask you to grab your robot so we don't break that. And then I'll have you sit down at the test fires, and if you want to give a couple comments, and then Representative Quam has a question. Representative Quam, did you want to ask your question first?
I can wait for him to complete his thought.
Very good. Mr. Whiting, you have the floor.
So basically, everything that we're doing at Cromwell Wright, it's a lot of robotics and industrial arts. And in industrial arts, you can only do as much as you can with the equipment you have. A vertical mill, we don't have one of those. There's so much we can do with vertical mills. We can cut our own metal. CNC machine, cut our own plastic. 3D printers, we can make more drones as fast as we can, production, instead of just one person like me working on it at a time. I made a plaque that says SolidWorks Class of 2015. SolidWorks is a 3D programming device that it's really neat. New computers that we can get, very small school, 10 kids in our SolidWorks class, and we have 8 computers, and which if we had more computers, we could have more kids in that class, more kids learning. This stuff is very high tech, and I mean, if you get a kid like me who's enthusiastic about building something, like a drone or a plaque, or I mean, maybe we could even make our own Legos robot on a 3D printer or a CNC machine. It's not only just robotics. I have a high mileage class. It's pretty much we make our own car, like a go-kart, pretty much, with a little junior motor. And we take it to Bemidji and we race it. And instead of buying all these materials, we could make our own materials out of our aluminum and everything, that, with the vertical mills and everything. That's, we're only limited so much with what we have.
Representative Quam, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. You're getting into the technical phases. Does the coursework also take the next step of your, you said your raw materials would cost $86 and that you could sell it for $300. Is there the aspect of, if you're going to do this, you know, if you did a business project, you would learn that you'd have to get, you know, the permits, and there would be you know, taxes, and you know, yeah, what the final cost was, so that you get more of a full training, because when you work out in life, I think you are the type of person that might want to open up your own business, and I think you probably have a lot of advisors and other people that know what the rest of the story is, and you're excited. So I just don't know, is this just the technical side, or do you also get into some of the facts side of what the rest of the story is?
And Mr. Whitting, did you understand the question? There was a lot in there, so.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm 18 years old. I'm enlisted in the Army. I have my future set up for everything. And what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about just the technical side. Yeah, we can have a business side of this, but me, I just want to build it. I don't want to sell it to anyone unless I, you know, I'm broke or something. But, I mean, basically technical side, yes. Business side, I'm not much into that. I just like building hands-on stuff.
Representative Quam, did you have a follow-up?
No, maybe when the other testifiers speak, if there are additional aspects, because vocational ed has the tech, but it usually has some of, you know, when you graduate, where can you use this, and, you know, a bigger picture. And that's, I was curious about the entire program.
Thank you, Representative Quam. And Representative Murphy, you're next on the list. And my question to you is, I know I got a little excited with the bling here. Would you like to wait for all the other testifiers, or did you want to direct it right to Mr. Whitting?
I'm going to talk to Mr. Whitting.
Representative Murphy.
Tell me about your class, the makeup of your class, and when it meets during the day, and how often, and for how long?
A class for what exactly? The robotics?
The class that you're at Cromwell White, right, that where you built that robotic thing.
So I have 4 shop classes a day. I'm a senior. I'm kind of taking it easy, you know, laying back. you know, I want to pass all my classes so I can graduate. a robotics class, a pre-engineering class, college pre-engineering. Basically, what we do is we sit down with our industrial arts teacher, Mr. Bloom, and he gives us an idea of what we want to do, and what usually comes about is has to be college related. And so we think, what can a college student do? Well, I want to be a college student, so maybe make a drone or a robot. I mean, that's very high tech nowadays, and it's coming like that. People want to do this. People want to build this. And what exactly did you want to know about the class? I mean, we just...
Well, you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. White, when you started, you said that you were limited in size because of the money or because of the whatever and whatever. And so tell me about how many students are in your class and how long you meet and how often. Every day?
Okay, Murphy. We meet every single day for about 55 minutes. We have 14 kids in our pre-engineering class. What we do is we just sit down, get together, research, and then we spend a limited amount of time building or researching, and we come up with a final product.
And Murphy. Mr. Chair, does Mr. Bloom supply the money for your projects, or do you have to supply the money for your projects? Like
Mr.
you
Wade.
Mentioned, Tom, that was what? Legos something or another, $300?
Lego's robotics is $350, and Mr. Bloom does not supply anything. It's all through the school.
And the school, did the school buy the Legos, or did the individual students?
The school.
Okay. And what is the gender balance in your class?
For the pre-engineering class, we have four girls and the rest are guys.
Four?
Four girls and about 10 guys.
Oh.
Is there a problem with that?
At this point, Mr. Whitting, I'll have you go through the chairs so I can have this conversation. Representative Murphy.
For his own protection. For his own protection. Is your school that... Does your total population, your school, have that kind of a balance between genders?
Absolutely not. It's about a 50-50. There's actually more girls in our class than guys.
And there should be more girls in your class than four.
Maybe. This is just the pre-engineering class?
Yeah, maybe 6, 12. Something like that. That's personal opinion, Mr. Chair. I withdraw.
And Representative Murphy, actually, I think it's a good question. I'm wondering if I couldn't turn to one of the other testifiers, the superintendent, to help us out a little bit, because I think the demographics are very important.
Yes.
Please state your name for the record. And
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Warren Schmidt. I'm the superintendent of Rossay Public Schools. All of this came down to the fact that we basically have three issues with our small schools. One of the issues is that we cannot offer the vocational classes because we can't afford them. For example, a vertical mill will cost us about $47,000. My entire capital outlay budget for the whole school is $100,000. So if we can get this grant or pilot project, we have set together 16 schools now have made a commitment to move this equipment between the schools. One will be in the northeast section, one will be in the west central. We each have 8 schools that have made a commitment that they would like to participate. Basically, I'm asking that we finance about 47% of it from the schools and the remainder from the state on a one-year basis. Then we will have a program where we charge each school approximately $5,000 to renew the equipment and to add new equipment and to repair. One of the problems that confront us is that in a small school, and where we live, we're approximately 25 miles from Fergus, and we're about 40 miles from Moorhead. Time we put a kid on the bus, get him out of class, put him on a bus, take his 1 hour of instruction. It usually takes an hour to get there, an hour for class, an hour back. So out of his day, that individual has lost 2 hours of class time. With the rotating proposal that we are suggesting here, each school would have access to the 8 different units that we are proposing. And then we just continually rotate them so that every student in a 2-year period would have access to the 8 units. Again, the cost is very important. The time constraints are very important, and the budget constraints are very important. And what we hope to do is to expose these students, both male and female, to the opportunity to experience these vocational opportunities that are out there, with hopefully that they can find a career that may interest them without the high expense of a college education, or just plain introduce them to something that industry is looking for very diligently. We have a number of companies, industries that are very interested in what we're doing, mainly for the fact excuse me, that they cannot find students who are interested or have the ability to perform these tasks.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Schmidt, and I am second author on this bill.
Thank you.
And so I like the aspect, but I think you're going to have to do more than expose the student body to this. I think you're going to have to develop a plan to reach out and encourage students that might not automatically be interested and try to enhance what their thoughts are about the class so that all students have the opportunity that Mr. Whiting obviously loves. And there should be equality of gender in those classes, if not more women. And so I think you have to have a plan to go out and have a waiting list for these classes then. And so these businesses will kick in with more money to add to the state match, and we'll be able to have not just one class for 55 minutes during the day, but maybe five classes, or at least community ed can take over, you know, those that traveling or those machines or whatever they are going to be, or the printer or whatever, the 3D printer or whatever is going to be at a school for a long period of time or several months. And so it should be used morning, noon, night for the community as well as kids, in my opinion. I think this has great possibilities. And I think that every school should have all their classrooms filled with enthusiastic students like the one we have before us, Mr. Whiting.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Well stated, well stated. Do you have a response to that? Otherwise, we'll go to the next question.
I appreciate it. And yes, this is a pilot project. We are just beginning. It will be approximately a quarter that the schools have the equipment, and then we'll rotate it. Now, one of the issues that we were confronted with is the issue of certification of a teacher, and the State Department has made a commitment that they would be willing to work with us so that we can get that individual certified. Then we could rotate that on a six-week basis, and every school would have then the opportunity to have all eight units within a two-year period.
Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I hope all of us noticed the excitement that Cody Whiting had when he was talking about his projects. Just the excitement in his eyes, you know, those that have been in the classroom, you can remember when students come up to you excited about something. And STEM education is really something that we really need to encourage in our schools. And last week, my wife and I attended the Science Museum where they had the opening of the space exhibit. And I was listening to the astronaut that was talking, and one parent was there said, how do we get our kids interested in STEM? And the astronaut took out his cell phone. He says, you have to unplug them. You got to get them away from the computer games and the cell phones, and get them outside and get them experimenting with what's going on around them. And Cody Whiting, you said you're going in the service, the military?
Yes, sir, the Army.
Okay. What kind of job are you looking at in the military?
12 November, it's pretty much a civil engineer, but the Army term is a horizontal construction engineer, pretty much building roads, bridges, heavy equipment operating.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to be in good hands. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Two questions, one for Mr. Whiting, one for the superintendent. And Mr. Whiting, I apologize, I was out of the room at another meeting when you started presenting, but you started talking about Legos and robotics, and that's you've hit a soft spot with me. But I'm a little confused because I think of the Lego robotics program, the first Lego League program, as being an upper elementary and middle school program, and you're clearly not that. So can you just very briefly explain what's the connection between Legos and robotics for you right now so that I better understand that?
Mr. Whiting.
For me, this is actually a seventh grade project. I was working with them, and I built this one specifically, but all the other kids in the class at that time made one of these and programmed them. Use the program off of the Legos website, and what else was there? I'm sorry,
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So were you working with kids who were doing the first Lego League program, the education themed one this year?
Mr. Yes. Whiting.
Okay, outstanding. And then if I may,
Representative Dabney.
Mr. Superintendent, you're in luck. He I think just answered my question. because what I was going to say is providing support for the services you're talking about at the high school level is great. And I will say, while without dismissing the challenges at all that small schools face in funding these programs, as a state, we haven't done anybody a favor in our funding of CTE education over the last many years. And it's dwindled in Minneapolis, which is where I represent. It's dwindled across the state. So you face particular challenges, but everybody does. But what I wanted to know, and some of this goes to Representative Murphy's conversations about recruitment, what are you doing and how would this complement what you may be doing at that upper elementary and middle school level? Because I think the research shows that that's when girls tend to start to drop off. And so grabbing their interest and attention at that point can mean there's, you know, six or eight girls in that class of 14, not four. Can you help me with how does this stretch out across the curriculum?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, in our school, we are going to start to implement this in the fourth grade where they'll be exposed to it and then continue as they go up, it'll get more complicated.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And just for as you introduced it to Mr. Schmidt, as you introduced it to the fourth graders, that's all the class, correct?
Correct.
Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and good to see you, Mr. Schmidt. We talked about this a couple years ago, I remember, when you first brought this concept forward, and I think it's a good concept. And you had mentioned that there were 16 schools right now that have committed. Is that all the schools that want to be in there? And I'm asking that because this cooperative is the one that I represent several of those school districts along with Representative Backer. And I know there were some, I saw an original list, so to speak, and it didn't seem like it was 16, so it looks like it's expanded from there. So I'm just wondering if all the school districts that want to be part of this, are they part of it, or is this the limit kind of with the equipment that you have coming?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, in our situation, this started to develop in 2014. We made a presentation to the 23 superintendents that are in our Lakes Country. And out of that, there were three schools that stepped forward and said, hey, we kind of like this. We went ahead. We had no idea what we were doing, basically. We liked the concept. We liked the fact that I looked at the North Dakota model of sharing, how they share equipment. I visited with them. I drew up a plan and then came back to Lakes Country superintendents again. And at this time, I think there were five more schools that said, yes, we're going to go with this. Then as I talked around the state, especially with MREA, they suggested we look at expanding even more. And at that time, I was put in touch with Dr. Bradley here from Cromwell, and he shared the same vision. So then we opened it up to our schools, the representatives of those superintendent areas. And right now, I have everyone who wants to be part of it is on the list for us.
Representative Marquardt, thank you. You have Representative Becker, you have two more testifiers who have, we haven't heard from. Would they like to speak at this time? And please state your name for the record and give us a testimony.
Sure. Good afternoon. My name is Troy Helgen. I work for Lakes Country Service Cooperative out of Fergus Falls. I'm the Career and Technical Education Coordinator. My main responsibility is I coordinate the secondary Perkins program for Lakes Country Perkins Consortium. Mr. Chair, Representative Backer, committee members, thank you for the opportunity today to join you about speaking about opportunities for rural schools around careers that are directly tied to our current workforce needs. As you've already heard, this proposal put in the hands of our educators, the students, high-tech equipment, STEM equipment. The proposed program we're advocating for today is not a reinvention of the wheel, as Superintendent Schmidt has said. Rather, it's an iteration of a successful existing program in North Dakota. Currently, one of my member schools, Campbell Tinta, tiny Campbell Tinta, where my mom is actually from, has been participating in the Southeast Regional North Dakota STEM High-Tech STEM Network for several years, with significant success. In our program, like the North Dakota program, the shared equipment for schools is industry-related, tied directly to labor market needs of our respective regions. This plan has been developed with partnerships from our local post-secondary partner, Minnesota State Community and Technical College, and with input from business and industry through local manufacturing association, Tri-State Manufacturers Association. Tri-State Board Member Elroy Vesta would have liked to have been here today, but he's out of state, and he would like to lend his support as well. As the regional entity that school districts look to for professional development, business office, health and safety, technology, human resources, and purchasing, and host of other services, Lakes Country Service Cooperative is well positioned to be the fiscal and program host for this project. Lakes Country has in place the infrastructure necessary to plan, implement, facilitate, and evaluate the success of the pilot program. We look forward to continued partnership with this and other activities that Lakes Country is involved with. In Kevin Fleming's video, Success in the New Economy, Mr. Fleming asserts that for every one job that requires an advanced degree, master's degree or higher, there are two jobs that require a bachelor's degree and seven jobs that require one-year certificate or two-year degree. He further asserts that this ratio is not only true today, but it was in 1950 and will be in 2030 and beyond. This program provides for schools and students exposure to equipment, training, curriculum, leading directly on a path to 70% of the jobs that are and will be available. Not many other programs can promise that. And as a response, part of my job is with Perkins is we have indicators for federal indicators on non-traditional participation. I can speak to that just a little bit if you would like me to. Our non-traditional participation for Lakes Country Perkins Consortium of 26 school districts that I work with is generally not, the gender issue is generally not females taking male courses, it's males taking female courses as general career and technical education courses. We generally speaking meet, and I can't speak directly to ROTCE right now, but we generally meet our expectations with non-traditional participation in CTE courses.
Thank you, Mr. Haugen. And is it Mr. Bratley?
Correct. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ron Bratley, superintendent at Cromwell Wright School District. I'm Cody's superintendent. That's probably all I need to say. But we're located about 45 miles southwest of Duluth. I've been in this education business for 40 years, and I know I don't look that old, but I started when I was 12. but during that time, I have observed many educational changes in Minnesota. In the 70s and the 80s, we were building technical colleges. We had secondary vocational programs all over the state, Fairmont, Moorhead, Crookston. I happen to belong to Chetek Co-op, which was located at Westbrook in southern Minnesota. We had a building trades program in Storden. So our Milroy students at that time got on a bus, off the bus, the regular route bus. They got on another bus and went to Storden. That took another hour. They were there for 2 hours building a house. Then they got on the bus and came back to Milroy just in time to have lunch and to do their math, their English, and their social studies courses. That was their day. So what did they learn on the bus? I don't want to testify to that, but I know that we didn't have iPads, we didn't have computers, and we didn't have cell phones at that time. So I'll leave it to your imagination. However, it was a good experience for those students, and we did a good job. Secondary vocational funding, as was kind of alluded to, disappeared. and the vocational education programs in the schools disappear consequently. In the 90s and the 2000s, we focused our energies on preparing students for four-year colleges. And we did a good job, and we provided for the needs of the students. Now, we have a challenge, the world's best workforce. That's, I think, the key words. I believe that House File 555 will act as a catalyst to provide the 21st century tools in the hands of students, like Cody. Now, we're looking at different modules, like was discussed, from biomed to robotics to virtual welding. And these courses, and I want to emphasize these courses will be offered at home. They don't have to get on the bus. These are opportunities that they would never see in our district, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. But the purpose of this pilot project is to increase the awareness of new careers and opportunities for students, to assess, for them to assess their interest and also their aptitude with hands-on experiences. Schools in rural Minnesota, or greater Minnesota as we like to refer to it, tend to be smaller, geographically sparse, and very limited high-tech exposure. Also, they have, and I want to emphasize this, they have a good work ethic. For example, in Cromwell, it's a logging area. Students really only experience what's out there in the school. We have no industry. We have no manufacturing. According to Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, as was just related to you, in Northwest Minnesota alone, they're expecting 9,000 high career tech jobs. That's huge. So how do we fill this need? I believe that this pilot program will provide a template for districts to meet the needs of both the students and industry. We want industry, and I believe that that industry will want to participate and help advise us, at least that's what I see, improving and promoting the programs. Obviously, I'm excited for Cody, and I'm excited for all students that they'll be able to realize what's out there. Then we can provide for industry strong workers and leaders in the future and strengthen Minnesota. Again, I believe we'll do a good job. Just a little sidelight here. I met with Fond du Lac College Tuesday, and we were talking about this program. And they are planning on putting in a telepresence system. We happen to have a telepresence system in our school district. We're talking about offering nursing classes, both during the day and in the evening, for not only students, but adults who are maybe looking to get back and get a job in nursing, whether it be an LPN or whatever. So there's other opportunities out there that I think we can even expand from this program as a base. Thank you for your time.
And thank you, Mr. Bradley. And one question that I have is, how do you find the instructors? What's it like trying to find teachers and instructors to lead these courses?
Well, in our district, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm fortunate I have three instructors on staff that are excited about doing some of these modules. And the biotech area I have covered, the welding, robotics, and so on. I have a young instructor there that's excited. He basically, Cody didn't say this, but he basically gives them the assignment and tells them, you figure it out. You know, you do the designing. You figure out how to make these things, make them right so they don't work. Hate to admit this, Mr. Chairman, but Cody's probably ahead of the instructor in many areas.
Mr. Bradley, actually, you don't, and Cody, if you come back up, you don't have to admit that. 20 years ago, I taught computer instruction, and we started building computers. And I will tell you, those students got far ahead of me. And so I don't think that's anything to actually be ashamed of, embarrassed. In fact, what we find as instructors, what I found is I became more of a facilitator and got out of the way. Mr. Whiting, have you found that out as well?
Yes, I have.
and it's okay.
My industrial art teacher, Mr. Bloom, he's just as excited as I am about everything.
He is a supervisor. He comes up with ideas. We make the ideas happen. That's the end of the story.
And Mr. Whiting, I think that's great, because what I found, and if anyone else wants to share, was my role quickly became to ask the right questions and to learn from the students. And it became such a wonderful experience, both sides, that I don't be ashamed of that. I suspect that instructor also enjoys that relationship and is excited to see you grow.
Yes, sir, he is.
Any further questions to any of the testifiers? Representative Quam and then Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's a comment. I remember being a parent and a big investment in technology at the local school, and we had some resistance to allowing off-hour utilization of the computer lab for the community who helped invest in that so that you'd gain that. Here, I think we see and hear where the administration is saying, how can we take this, involve the community, have everybody gain from it, and that just doesn't help the community. That the kids see that. They see that the community is excited about it. It's a high priority, and I think you have better participation with the students. And if you're talking recruitment, I think it helps with the recruitment with the younger kids and that buy-in. And that, I think, is another facet that we're seeing out of this program.
Very good. Representative, and I'm sorry, did you have a response for Representative Quam?
Mr. Chairman, yes, Representative Quam, I believe that we're going to use community education as a vehicle to accomplish those things. And I think our imagination is only the end point. Yeah. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has been an enjoyable hearing today. Just a question, I think, maybe for Mr. Haugen, as you work with the school districts in your position. Great idea to do this, especially in the larger geographic school districts. My question has to do with when you outfit, you're talking about 8 foundational tools of clean manufacturing. Technology today is changing so fast and so rapidly. When you outfit one of these curriculum classroom type things, and I'm looking down the road, how long do they last before they become outdated and you have to look at updating as that process continues on?
Mr. Haugen.
Mr. Chair, that's a hard question because it might be outdated by the time we get out the door. Reality is that this program is built in a way that the school districts also have a significant investment in it as well. And that investment is not only to repair equipment that as it breaks, but also replace it as industry changes. So I think, you know, we've got a good 4-year cycle here. In 4 years, we may be looking at a totally different set of equipment.
Any other questions? How about from the audience? Representative Backer, you have the unique task of drawing all this together and telling us why the $570,000 will solve all these problems.
Thank you, Chair and members. You know, as we can see, Cody is just one example. One of the things that you all have in front of you is finding to train our next workforce. And as we can see, this gives, in this pilot program, the tools to be creative and to provide other ways to encourage students to go beyond their abilities. And so I would ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Backer. And with that, the chair will lay this bill over for possible inclusion. House file 555 is laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you. And members, if you'll indulge me for one moment, I think I saw Representative Erickson and Representative Peterson. You brought shadows in.
I did.
Would you like to introduce those to the committees before we adjourn? Is there anybody else? Oh, and Representative Wills, Representative Marquardt. So we have 4. Oh, we have plenty of time. Thank you. You can be excused. And if you want to bring your shadows up, why don't we just have them go to the testifier and introduce themselves, and then we can adjourn. What's that? Yeah, we'll just have them all 4 come on up.
Very good. Very good.
Sit down in front of those mics.
So, to the shadows, you weren't here earlier. We had a couple other ones. Just introduce who you are and where you're from.
My name's Brianna Fortis, and I'm from Big Lake.
My name's Anna Leslie Jimenez, and I'm from Goodhue.
My name's McKenna Larson, and I'm from Wheaton.
My name is Patrick Sherman, and I am from Ada Borup.
My name's Jordan Thorpe, and I'm from Waconia.
And my name's Madison Schockenmeyer, and I'm also from Waconia.
And thank you. And thank you, and we hope you have a great experience here. And with that, Education Finance stands adjourned.